We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is a Thursday morning in Brevard County, and we are thankful that you have made the Refresh radio broadcast here on WMIE a part of your day. So thank you for tuning in, and we are looking forward to a glorious weekend this weekend. Now, Sunday night, our district superintendent has done something that he has not felt impressed of the Lord to do very frequently in his 20 years in office. And that is, he has sent out a blanket request that every Assembly of God church throughout the district be praying this coming Sunday. Be praying for our nation, be praying for our communities, be praying for the kingdom of God. And so we already had it on our calendar before he sent that out. But it's nice to know that the brethren are going to be in unity. I want you to know that I have also received invitations in the mail from other organizations saying, hey, we are praying as a country, or we are praying and want to invite the churches to make Sunday, November the 6th, a national day of prayer in our churches. And so that's what we are going to be doing Sunday night. We are going to be having a prayer meeting at 6:30. Our youth will still have their meeting. Our Bible quiz program will still go on. But for the rest of us, we are going to be gathering and we are going to be praying. And we've been doing that for the last three Sunday night services that we had right before the election. So come out and join us. Be a part of that. If you're a pastor that's listening, you don't even really have to do too much about it. Just say, hey, we are partnering with the Assemblies of God around the district of Florida, and we're going to see God do great and mighty things. So that's what's coming up Sunday night. And then after the service, we will be having our chili cook-off. It is something we've been doing. This is, I believe, our third year that we have been doing this. And the bar keeps getting elevated. The chili that I made last year wasn't the same as the chili I made the year before, and the chili I'm making this year is not the same as the chili I made that year. So we're hoping to continue to kick it up a notch, and we've got the challenge out there if anybody wants to participate. It's a blind thing. No one really knows whose chili is what, so that's the thing. Now, there's people in the counters that are, you know, that help get it all situated. We do the, just so you know, the way that it works, not that it's a really big deal to you, but we do it where the kitchen crew puts it in little Dixie cups, and everybody gets a Dixie cup, and they're labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many come. It's just whoever brings chili, that's whoever gets to participate. And then At the end of the night, there's no rigging. No one's supposed to know who made what, and everybody gets to vote for which one is their favorite chili, and then we have a little prize that we give away at the end. But that's what we have coming up this week. Come be a part of it. I'll be preaching on Sunday morning. Looking forward to sharing the word that God has for us. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 49 today, verse number 5. It says, "And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." So here we start off again that God formed us. He formed us with this primary purpose, and that was to be his servant. When I am a servant to someone, I am ready to hear whatever they have need of. My daughter, one of my daughters is in a support role. Her job is to make sure that everyone has what they need at the given point in time that they need it in order to successfully accomplish their task. That's what her job is. And she brings that same mindset into the house of God as well. What would our society look like if we woke up every day and say, God, what do you need? What would you like me to do today? How can I serve you today? Now, I have what I consider the best office manager in Brevard County, and I call her Radar O'Reilly. If you've ever watched MASH, and where Radar knew what the colonel was needing before the colonel ever asked the question, that's really the type of mindset that she has in our office. Her name is Karen. She does a great job. And there are so many times that I go in and say, Karen, I need you to do this. And she said, I just finished it. And it's like, well, could you be a little quicker about the next time? That's the way that we need to have our approach in life to our relationship with God. God, how can I serve you today? And when God says, I want you to do this, you know, that our heart says, you know, I want to do that. I don't want to do it because I have to. I want to do it because I want to. To bring Jacob back to him. What was Isaiah's task? What was his mission? His mission was that of a prophet. Now, a lot of times in our societies, we focus on the role of the prophet as forthtelling, as telling us things that are about to happen. But one of the primary purposes of a prophet was this, to call people back into relationship with God. Knowing what is going to happen, just to know that it is going to happen, that is not what a prophet does. A prophet goes forth and declares the words of God, the promises of God, the plans of God to bring people back into a right relationship with God. You can take this however you want it, but whenever someone comes up to me and they start throwing around titles, then I start looking for the meaning of those titles. And when somebody introduces themselves as minister so-and-so, I was like, okay, so you're a servant, so you are okay in serving in whatever form or capacity needs to be served. That's the way that I take that, because the word minister, it basically means servant. And so if you tell me you're a minister, I'm going to assume you have the mindset of a servant and you are willing to do whatever and whenever for the glory of God, because that's what we do. We're there to please Him, not just to have people focus their attention on us and give us great accolades. Listen, I am blessed to pastor a great church. They do a great job in blessing my wife and I and our family. It really is a privilege to serve there. But I don't do what I do because of the financial package that they have enabled us to have. We came when there was no salary. We came when there wasn't air conditioning and all that sort of stuff. We came because we were servants of God then, and we are servants of God now. So we are there to serve. Whenever somebody tells me that they're a prophet, I was like, wow, have you read what an Old Testament prophet went through? I want to challenge you. Look at the prophet Jeremiah. Look at the prophet Isaiah. Look at the prophet Ezekiel. Look at the things that they went through. Look at the prophet Hosea and Daniel. So you're telling me when you identify yourself as prophet so-and-so that you are willing to go through the humiliation of the prophet as well as the declaration of the prophet, then I'm okay. But if you're just there and trying to impress people with a title, I don't know. Apostle means sent one. So are you telling me when you're apostle so-and-so that you are okay for God to send you anywhere, anytime, any place, on any mission, you are ready to go? Though that's the way that I approach titles. He says here that this form of mindset that the prophet Isaiah had was to serve God in such a manner that Jacob would be brought back to him. Our lives are supposed to be living examples and living tools that God can use to bring people back to faith. Prophets called people back into relationship with God. See, long before the parable of the prodigals in Luke chapter 15, Israel was a prodigal. And the prophets were used by God to call people back to where they were. Now listen, if God could do that for Israel, he can do it for America. He can say, America, come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to me. And they will respond. So that Israel is gathered to him. Gathered to him. Not to a program. Not even to a denomination, not to Merit Assembly of God, not to any individual label over a door, but you are gathered back to the Lord God Almighty, the self-existent one, the sovereign one, the one beyond comparison. He says, I want nations gathered back to me. Now, it always starts with the people of God. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. So let's just leave this on the table here for just a moment, that the prophet was to be used as a servant to bring Jacob and the nation of Israel back to their relationship with God. It says, "For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord." A lot of people do what they do for the notoriety of men. They do it for fame. They do it for headlines. They do it for celebrity status. They do it to be glorious in the eyes of men. I am much more concerned about what I appear to be to God, because his perspective is never wrong. His perspective is never based on faulty information. I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. Now, on yesterday's program, I told you about Isaiah saying, I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Listen to what it says this, and my God shall be my strength. And my God shall be my strength. Is there anybody that is listening to this program today that is encouraged to know that your relationship with God is one that makes you strong beyond compare? You are not a weak doormat. You are equipped by the strength of Almighty God. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength today. Now, when I read that in Nehemiah, where it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, I focus a little bit differently on that phrase than other people do. I put the emphasis on a different syllable, if you will, and that is this. I focus on that central part of that statement. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In other words, I don't look at it as a joy that comes from God necessarily as being the only meaning of that. I focus on the fact of the joy of the Lordship of God, with him ruling and reigning in my life, where he gives me my direction, he gives me my provisions, he gives me tasks that are going to bring glory to him. It is the Lord and the joy of having him as my Lord that gives me the strength to face whatever adversity comes my way, whatever obstacles, whatever debris needs to be removed from my life. It's the joy of the Lord. When people rise up in opposition and say, no, we don't want you building the house of the Lord, it is the Lord and the joy that he provides that strengthens me. It strengthens my grip, if you will. And so Isaiah says, and my God shall be my strength. When we come to that perspective where we say, I am here to serve God, I'm here to call people back into a right relationship with him, whether they've ever known him, whether they're coming out of a life of deceit, which Jacob means deceiver or slanderer, something along those mindsets there, where it's somebody that's not dealing in a forthright manner, or where you're dealing with Israel, where you're a prince of God, and God's saying, I want to call you back to the family that you are representing. That's what Israel means. That when we say, God, I'm going to do this with the mindset of bringing glory to you and honor to you and fame to you, I'm going to do it in your strength. This is how God responds to that circumstance. He makes a different declaration. Remember, we set aside here that the ministry was to Jacob and to Israel. And now in verse number 6, indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. One of the biggest challenges in raising up disciples is to get them to exercise faith beyond their own immediate personal needs and the needs of their family to adopt a global vision that everything that God has done for them, he wants to do for the rest of humanity. Back in the 1990s, God revolutionized Merit Assembly of God. He didn't do it with numerical strength or even financial strength. He did it with a vision to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It changed our church. Missions became the heartbeat of our church. Missions is still the heartbeat of our church. And when that happened, we reached a certain place in our giving, and then we plateaued. And I began to pray, and I felt like God spoke to me and said, I want you to double your missions giving. Now we took that to mean that was a goal, and so I began to talk, and so I went to my wife and I said, you know, I just feel like God has spoken to me and said, hey, we as a church, we need to double our missions giving. And she said, I felt the same thing. And I went to one of our board members and I said, I believe that God is wanting us to double our missions giving. And he said, I feel the exact same thing. Now you have to realize our missions giving at that point in time was running a little bit over $12,000 a year. I mean, we had hit a plateau of giving as a church that was right around that $110,000 mark. And we just felt like, and so we set out to increase our giving. It was like 12.5. And so we set out to double our missions giving to $25,000. And here's what we discovered, that as we increased our missions giving, that God increased the budget to where it wasn't costing us anything to increase our missions giving. He was bringing in all of the increase in the missions, and he was bringing in an increase to the general fund now on top of that. You see, when you adopt the vision, and we are all about restoring value, whether people have left the faith or not ever heard of the faith, we want them restored to their God-given purpose. We want them restored spiritually and relationally. We want them restored in their physical health. We want them to be restored to everything that God created them to be. And so that's very much the mindset that God was working in Isaiah here. And he says, It is too small a thing for you to be my servant just for the sake of restoring Israel and raising up Jacob. He said, I am giving you as a light to the Gentiles. You see, God always had it in his plan to work through Israel to change the world. He had it as his strategy to find a man and a woman who were as good as dead in Abraham and Sarai, or Abram and Sarai, and transform them and make them the father of many nations. Use Jacob as a covenant people who could bring forth Jesus, the Messiah, who would bring light to the Gentiles. Even in the construction of the temple, there was the court of the Gentiles. It was supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. Can I challenge you today, when you will adopt the mindset of serving God, of being glorious in his sight, of functioning in his strength and not your strength, that it will not be long until God says, you know what? I'm going to increase your responsibility. Okay? Now, it is a very high burden to carry to reach a nation. But what is your response when you have just been told you're going to be a light to the Gentiles, to the nations of the earth? You're going to be a light to the, not only to the continents, but to the islands. How do you do that? You do it the same way you did it before. You do it in the strength of Almighty God. You do it by serving him. And you say, God, I don't know how we're going to get to the ultimate end here, but I do know this. We are going to take one step today. Where are you in your, in God's plan? Where are you in this process of serving him and say that he wants to use you to bring his salvation to the ends of the earth? Well, the first thing is you've got to be in right relationship with him. You've got to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. A servant has got to have an ear to his master. He's got to know, God, what do you want me to do? And then you've got to serve him gloriously, even when it is not comfortable. Okay, we are less than 60 days now, or right around 60 days, till the end of the year. Can you believe that? But and for some, this year has been a year of challenges like no other. And God is still working. If you today have not been able to lead someone to Jesus, I want you to pray and say, God, would you give me a mouth that I can use for the glory of God? It doesn't do us any good to sing, oh, for a thousand tongues we sing our great Redeemer's praise, if we're not going to use the one that we have. So say, God, I need you to work in me. I need you to form me. I need you to make me what I have never been before. Make me a soul winner. He that wins souls is wise. God, I need you to make me a polished weapon that I can pierce through the darkness and I can strike the mark that you would have me to go. Lord, give me divine appointments where I can shed your light. Say, God, I want to start with where I'm at, and I want to be faithful there. The scripture says, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. You see, too many people are lying to themselves, and they're saying, well, if I have this, then I could be faithful. If I just was over this obstacle, then I could be faithful. If I just had what this person over there has, then I could be faithful. But that's not the way that faithfulness works. Faithfulness is what God works in our heart, that when we have nothing, we say, we will be faithful to him. We will be faithful to his word, and we will be faithful to his call. You see, I look at people and I say, if they were unfaithful there, they will be unfaithful here. There's an old country song that says something like this: have you left the one that you left me for? If you were unfaithful to me, you're going to be unfaithful to them. Let's reverse that trend, shall we? Let's be a people faithful to their God. What is it that every believer wants to hear God say? Is it not this: well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my rest. Faithfulness and fruitfulness are not two different things. They are different sides of the same coin. If we are faithful, God will make us fruitful. But if we're unfaithful, he remains faithful, but we are going to have a very difficult road. You know, there are too many people who they want to start on the global stage, and they want to miss that learning process that God brings us through the growing stages. When we first came to Merit Assembly of God, there were only about six people besides our family that were attending services. You know what my mindset was back in those days? God, I need you to help us grow so that we can accomplish things. And 24 years later, I realized that I had a lot of growing to do as a pastor, even though I'd been in the ministry for nearly 10 years at that point in time and been working towards the ministry before that. There were still a lot of things that I didn't know. There were still a lot of experiences that God needed to help me through. And so faithful on step one will cause you to be faithful at step two. God wants to develop in us a lifestyle of faithfulness. When we do that, he will use us and he will stretch us and he will expand your territory. And he will say, you know what? You have been faithful in this. This is too small for the capabilities that I have placed inside of you. I want you to take salvation to the ends of the earth. Pastors, church leaders, are we going to do that? Or are we just going to sit around and hold hands and sing Kumbaya? By the way, I don't even know the words to Kumbaya. I just know this. There are people whose eternity is hanging in the balance. Jesus did all the work that was necessary on the cross to pay for their forgiveness. We have the privilege of taking the gospel to them. Let's not fail in our task. Let's be faithful. No matter where we are, let's be faithful. God, may we be found faithful today, and may you empower us to do our job faithfully, locally and globally, for your glory. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.